Let's talk a little more about what we have planned for the next 1 hour as people still come in. The agenda's simple per se. It's to give folks who love ASP.NET on-premise, have expertise in it, have made heavy investments in it. You've heard of the cloud, you're curious about it, you want to know what it offers. Now this, in some sense, could be a full day session. We could take the next 8 hours and sit down and go through each service. We naturally won't be doing that. So it will be a breadth, a tease of a bunch of services. There are some services I might not even be able to touch on. So I've chosen a few. I'll talk to them. As with all presentations, I'm a little bit more skewed towards stuff we announced recently. For stuff that's been out for a year, there are a lot of other good presentations, and I'll put them up on my blog so folks can find links. So there'll be a walkthrough of specific pieces of Azure. Again, a breadth talk, beginner, intermediate. That's what folks had in mind. Okay, perfect. So that's what we'll be doing for the next 1 hour, 15 minutes. I'm Saurabh Pant. I'm a senior program manager in the ASP.NET Windows Azure team. I've worked on ASP.NET. I've worked on tooling for ASP.NET. Of late, I've been working on our Azure caching service. I'll talk a little bit to that towards the end of the presentation. We talked about the agenda. We'll start off by just why Azure. We'll talk about what the migration to the cloud looks like. We'll take a typical, quote-unquote typical, because there is no real typical application. We'll take an application, see what its components look like on-premise, what the corresponding building blocks look like on Azure. And in particular, I'll try to deep dive on Azure Active Directory, which I think is just phenomenal. Azure websites, web jobs, web schedulers, something we just announced recently, still have their preview tags on them. Azure Traffic Manager, and then the caching service, just because it's my baby. So we'll try to save some time for that. Why Azure for ASP.NET? And again, I mean, this slide could be an hour-long presentation as well. Here's my take on it. One is it lets you move faster. There used to be times where building an application was, I don't know, maybe 1 millionth of the battle. You had to figure out the right place to host it, scale it, maybe even request the right hardware. That's where moving faster comes in. You take your infrastructure to the cloud, concentrate on value adds that you can add the business logic of your application. Leave all the plumbing, the infrastructure to Microsoft. You can do that at different layers. We have a completely layered approach. You can do it at the infrastructure layer, get a virtual machine. Again, you're very familiar to what you would do on premises. Or you could follow more of a PaaS model, a platform as a service model, let Microsoft do even more heavy handling for you. That's where something like Azure website comes in. A hosted model built for both ease of use, scalability, with the reliability of Microsoft behind it. So I think that's one big advantage of moving to the cloud, is just being able to move faster, using your limited time to focus on things that only you can do, and things that could be outsourced, just get outsourced to Microsoft. The moving faster has another angle to it. You do not want to leave behind the productive environment you're used to. Assuming folks here spend a whole set of time in Visual Studio today, you want to be as productive on the cloud, if not more. And that's another thing that Azure offers, because the same set of tools, the same deep integration, you feel right at home. It doesn't feel bolted in. Azure just naturally flows into your development lifecycle. And this commitment actually is more beyond just VS as well. We are rebuilding our entire portal to better meet the scenario of folks who have to do both IT and developer work. The boundary between the two keeps getting grayer and grayer. And very folks very often find themselves spending a bunch of time on the Azure portal as well. So we are rebuilding our portal for that new dynamic of DevOps, where operations and development combined. Again, we had a great session on that yesterday. So if you missed it, just catch it on the video recording. But overall, the theme is keep you as productive as we've invested in on-premises, take care of the plumbing for you, allow you to do more. In today's world, you build a successful line of business application in your enterprise. The enterprise comes to you, says, hey, we want to use it for the entire enterprise. When can we do that? And you're like, no, hold on. This needs to be re-architected. I need to think about what it would mean at that scale. This is a major investment. Today with Azure, you tell them, yes, move the slider across. I'm using distributed services. It's already pre-built for that. The ability to build small if you need to, because that's what you pay for. But tomorrow, if your enterprise needs to just scale it, you move the slider, and the scale units move along with it. So we'll chat a little bit more on that, where it opens up opportunities where typically you would not have had to focus to build something for that scale. You build it for the scale you need currently for your business requirements, and the scalability will just follow. Save money, and last but not the least, super important, you need to figure out what capacity you need, what you want to buy, how do you test this, do you buy a machine to test it now and then just have it lying around. Again, pay as you go, get the right hardware, use it on the cloud, use your familiar tools, and save money when you move from different parts of the life cycle and don't need those resources anymore or need them differently. So this is my 5-minute take on what could be a talk by itself. We've had talks on this in the past. Again, I'll put links to a few on my blog. But let's see a little bit more of this in actual action. Typical in quotes, naturally. So what we have here is site monitor. Brady, our evangelist, at one point on Azure websites built this. He has it really well documented on his blog, the evolution of this. What it does is simple. You come to a web page, you enter a website that you want tracked, and a process in the background picks up what you enter, stores it. Another process in the background keeps checking the resource you want tracked. You can scale this. It makes sense for Brady to do this, or you to do this for your website. It makes sense for Microsoft to have something similar for all corporate resources it buys. You can imagine that instead of user entry, this becomes a scenario where as soon as an asset is bought and given to a customer, it gets entered in somewhere, and then Microsoft IT, your corporate IT, keeps track of it. So a scenario which can scale on both ends. You could imagine this working for 100,000 customers. You could imagine you using it to see if your hosting provider is not fleecing you and keeps your site up. The architecture, like I discussed, it gets 2 points of external input, addition of a website and deletion, essentially curation of that list. The messages get sent to some queue on entry. They get removed from the queue on storage on deletion. That's where data comes in. And then you have something in the background that continuously running that tracks, keeps track of the health of that application. And this is what likely a solution to this would look like if you went ahead and built one. You naturally have a web front end, a web API. The pieces your either agents or your users interact with, and then a set of processes, one that runs more on a scheduled basis, taking jobs from the queue, and one that runs on more on a timer every few minutes or what you decide, checking how well those assets are doing and reporting it somewhere. A fairly simple application, but I hope it helps us make the points we're planning to make down the line. Folks have similar applications in their enterprise. built something similar before? A web page, services? Yeah, I see some nodding heads. Okay. So it's typical-ish. Okay. To the cloud now. Let's see what that would look like. Now, I sliced and diced this differently, and here's one way of looking at what this would look like as well. I have some features on the left. Again, we use them in different capacities for different applications. We naturally have on-premise equivalents for those, and then there is what Azure offers. Websites, they require a hoster. You have your Windows Server, you have IIS. We have multiple modes of supporting that in Azure Compute. You have virtual machines, you have cloud services, you have Azure websites right up the stack. So that's well taken care of. A strong Azure Compute offering on multiple fronts. You have your actual technology, web forms, MVC, HTML, Angular, or JS, which this app uses. That you do not have to cloudify. And that's by design. We don't want you to have to run a new language to run something on the cloud. Now, we might have you move from using a session state provider that likes your local cache to using our new distributed session state provider that writes to the Azure cache on Sure, you might use a distributed output caching. But the basic concepts you're familiar with don't change. Web forms, MVC, they're still web forms, MVC, no matter where you're running them. And we'll see that as well, where the application itself just migrates. Visual Studio tooling, again, you don't need to learn new tooling in here. At one point, we'll had you create a cloud application project to publish to Azure. We've even moved away from that. You just create an Azure website. Just create your MVC, web forms application. When it comes time to publish, you decide it's going to Azure or it's going on-premise. Your project structure, your tools are exactly the same. So there, we have rich integration, but here is a scenario where the fact that there is not a special Azure offering is goodness. It's by design, and a lot of work went into making sure there was not a special Azure offering. There is no special Azure ASP.NET. It's the same ASP.NET that you guys are familiar with. Identity, it's huge, but the same identity system that comes with ASP.NET works on Azure naturally. It integrates with Active Directory. We've also done some great tooling in platform work to integrate even closer with Windows Azure Active Directory. Web APIs, we have a set of management services we are investing in this space. I won't be covering much of that in detail in this talk, but we have an API management service we just previewed this week. We have mobile services, we have notification services for building rich clients connecting to Web API. So please do check those out as well. Jobs. The example we just saw, we had background processes, console apps, Windows services running on a schedule running continuously. We just a few months back previewed a web jobs feature for this that I'll be going into. SignalR, again, it falls in more in the vein of MVC ASP.NET. You're used to SignalR. All those concepts just work on Azure. They just move to a different scale. They get distributed. Example here, just take SignalR, distribute it with an Azure Redis cache backend, and there. You have that same goodness, geo-distributed, distributed across instances. Traffic Manager, we have one on Azure as well. I had to trim this slide down, but the key point being, you can go to that Azure portal. In our current portal, we list all our services on the left. Just walk through each of those, and you'll think of an equivalent we offer on-premise, and here's the Azure equivalent. So a rich suite of application services built on strong infrastructure pieces like our compute and identity. Okay, enough talk. Actually, that's not true. I have a little more talk to do, and then we move to real stuff. I chose to start with identity because, to be honest, for some folks, this is make or break. Folks will not migrate if the identity does not migrate with them, or if migrating identity itself is so expensive. their data stays locked up on the enterprise. And this also is an example where you can make your first small baby steps into the cloud. So what we offer in Azure is Azure Active Directory. It's the federated model. What it lets you do is you're a small shop, you want to set up a federated identity system. You can do it for free in Azure. You're a large enterprise. You have Active Directory running on premises. You want to open it up. You want to allow scenarios where folks on their iPads can now run your enterprise applications. You can sync it to our Windows Azure Active Directory and open it up outside the enterprise without making it any less secure. And from a customer perspective, you log in. All this is infrastructure for you. The experience of your customer remains exactly the same. You just have Microsoft, again, taking care of a bunch of plumbing that in the past folks used to fly in consultants for. So let's see what this looks like. Let's actually stop talking now. Our Azure portal. This is what I mentioned by a bunch of services that you can choose from. Azure Active Directory. Oh, I apologize. There you go. Portal, I'm on Active Directory right now. The services I mentioned that Azure has to offer, and this list keeps growing. This list has grown so much that we had to build a new portal to find a different UI paradigm to hold these. So a very complete suite of applications. The site monitor app that we talked about, so I've created an Active Directory here for that. Again, it's trivial to do. We can do one right now. I really want to make the point that things that required major investments at one point, thinking of building an Active Directory during a presentation would be unheard of. But you can do that right now. Take a demo. United States. Domain is not unique. Why am I not surprised? There you go. There is now a quick create to create an Azure Active Directory. So all that comes up, again, what it has is a set of users. I have pre-populated this one with a TechEd admin and a TechEd user. You can add users naturally specific to you or your directory, or you can use anyone with an existing Microsoft account. Now, all of Office 365 runs on Windows Azure Active Directory. Anywhere, the millions of customers using Windows Azure Active Directory signing up into their Office 365 account are doing it via the same infrastructure that you can use for free for your small application, or you can actually sync it to your Active Directory and get users from there. So you can add users, applications. You can register applications with Active Directory. We'll see that a bit more. We'll see how our tooling makes this really easy. Directory integration. This was the piece I talked about where all you need to do, and now there are a set of knobs that go in here, but broadly from a concept perspective, you can activate this Azure Active Directory to be essentially a replica and a slave of your master directory on premises. So that's where the identities remain, but they're exposed off using this directory to customers to sign in. Simple to do. And then there are stuff like generating reports on it. Now, how do you consume this within your ASP.NET application? Let's look at that as well. Just an empty page. ASP.NET web application. I chose MVC. This is the creation dialog. Folks have seen it before. We reworked our creation dialog to combine all our offerings, including Azure in there. You choose MVC. You choose the authentication that you want for your app right here itself. I'm choosing organizational auth. What domain am I signing into? If you notice there, the domain I had created was sitemonitor.onmicrosoft.com. Now, it doesn't have to be .onmicrosoft.com. It works for a lot of small organizations. Some larger ones would naturally write their custom domain name, and that's absolutely supported. So site monitor, you can choose single sign-on, read, write, access. What do you want to allow this app to do? And this will register web application 5. We saw registration tab on the portal sometime back. Bring it up again. This will do all the work for you. Register your application here along with when you publish it to the cloud. I say OK. I need to sign in as the admin of that directory. So this was the admin account that we had created. Once it gives me success, I can go ahead and create the application. Again, from Visual Studio, went to the portal. In a few minutes, we created our directory. From Visual Studio, we integrated into it. And now I have a project created for me using MVC, talking to that Active Directory with custom UI already pre-built to log my users in. Sure. So that's fair enough. So the question was, we showed a scenario where you require admin access to be able to talk to from this tooling. So we've talked about enabling non-admin scenarios as well. That is still down the line. Everything that tooling does for you is two broad things. It automatically gets a bunch of configuration for you and adds it to your web config. So it's essentially a bunch of WIF configuration, Windows Identity Framework, and then it builds some UI from you in the controllers to log in. Both of these can be done manually. Both of these can also be done where you create a dummy account, you're an admin on, you set your application up, and then you reconfigure it to point to the right one at deployment. So absolutely, there are multiple ways of doing it. There isn't support for non-admin scenarios from a tooling perspective yet, but from a runtime perspective, absolutely. And this at least sets you up. You can go and change the fields are entered for you, so it's a good building block. Similarly, you notice that today all this tooling was integrated into File New. We are planning to make that re-entrant as well. You have an application, you want to add it to that. Down the line, you'll just be able to add it as well. So all that tooling, syntactic sugar on top of it, we'll keep investing on. Okay, so this was the project I just created. Let's run it. And I mentioned it, but I'm going to mention this again. Everything I'm showing here is free. There are a few premium services that get charged for. I believe if you want to turn on multi-factor auth, maybe I believe we charge for that if there are additional scenarios. But the base functionality, creation of directory, unlimited number of them, just comes for free. The website is running now. So there. Once this comes up, I'll be logged in as an admin, or I could have chosen a user in this scenario to log in for my Azure Active Directory from this application. There. Folks like it? Is this what they're hoping to see? Might be willing to use it?
Programmatically add it.
Yes, the concept of, the question was, naturally, we went and added users here for, we added users here in Active Directory via the portal. Is that possible programmatically? Absolutely. Yeah, there's that goodness. There's also the identity system that comes with ASP.NET that integrates with it. So if you're used to the concept of having profiles and maintaining the user's favorite background color for your application, all that works as well. So ASP.NET roles, profiles, all that integrates with Azure Active Directory as well. It's something crazy. I don't know what it is, but it's, yeah. It's one of those 64,000 million something. So there is no difference in the Active Directory that you get. Well, not no, but the Active Directory that you get by default and the one that, for example, Microsoft is using with Office 365 is the same basic infrastructure hosted in the same by the same service, except for a few additional premium features. Okay? So this was impressive. We have it running. At least I get impressed every time I do it. But now let's publish it to the cloud. Now this is running on locally, but we've done this in the past where, sure, locally is easy, then you publish it to the cloud. Again, there's a bunch of connection strings I need to change. It's a nightmare. Well, not anymore. Here, I'll be publishing to websites. 500,000 Active Directory objects are free. Brady just found out for us. So it's 500,000. What we'll be doing next is from Visual Studio itself, publishing to Azure websites. We'll be talking about websites more, but websites are our PaaS offering, our platform as a service offering for hosting web applications. And again, look at the deep integration. I can naturally do this in the portal, but I don't need to. I know you folks spend a bunch of time in VS, so you might as well just do it here. TechEd Auth 5. Choose the right subscription. Sure, East US. Create new server. It requires a database to naturally to save the users. So I need to create one. I'm doing one right now. So let's take it out 5. So this will take your application, do the right massaging in there, provision it, create a website for you, create a database for you. You go to the portal, you have at least the framework of a basic application with authentication running for you. So while this comes up, let's talk a little bit more about what websites offers you. Not sure this is up already. And these are, I'll jump around a bit here with a assorted set of features I want to show you. So I'll jump around a bit more and then we'll come back to our site monitor theme. So what do we see next? Let me show you this. One question I get with Azure websites is, can you have custom domains? So I just, to playing around, I just brought, this is smartypants.azurewebsites.net. But what is more important is now I own smartypan.me. So all I had to do was buy it in GoDaddy, register it. There it is. So domain registration completely supported. SSL fully supported on websites as well. So that's pretty cool. Let's see, did our application come up? There. You know what, let me. try this from. So the website that we just created, what was it? TechEd Demo 5. Well, I have too many identities going on right now, so let's. Take it out. Okay. Azure websites, here's here what your dashboard looks like. Again, notice all we had to do was publish it from VS and the app just worked for us. Just to show you this working on the cloud, we tried in an in private session and see if that helps. Take it out five. Give it one more try. Had the username saved, there it is. Oh, maybe not. I know you guys trust me, but I wanted to show you it really working on websites. So that should look there. So we created one, we logged in locally, we published it, did not write a single line of code, running on Azure, authenticated with Azure, Active Directory. Okay. What else? Let's do a few more. Okay, well, let's actually get back to our site monitor example. So here, we took a diversion to talk about identity because it's super important. We talked about domain registration, because that's important too. We saw SmartyPants. Back to site monitor. Now, here's, like I mentioned, what this application looks like. There's a web piece to it. Again, publishing on Azure by now. You folks are an expert as well. All you need to do is publish. We'll create a new site monitor site. Have the authentication complete and come up, and we'll create a new site there. Site monitor 10, I guess hopefully that's not there. That looks good, site monitor 10, okay. So we're publishing the web piece of our application. But well, now I guess you guys know that that's easy to do. It happens pretty seamlessly. What the application also had, though, what we talked about in the past, was services. It needed services to do two things. A service that was a service in the sense that it always stayed up and had to be aware of inputs it needed to save or deletions. And then we had a more time-driven service which pinged a set of resources every few minutes and got data from that. So let's look at those two services next. So Azure added a feature, which was still in preview, called Azure Web Jobs, and they let you do exactly what I just described. They allow you, in addition to your website, upload executables and then define when you want them to be run, how you want them to be run, and that's a feature we'll be using now, I guess, to complete the site. And I wasn't paying attention. Did my site complete? It's still taking a while to compile. And publish. While that happens, there you go. No. Close this. Okay. I don't know why it's taking so long. I guess it's just waiting for me to say that. I don't know why it's taking so long to come up. See? Okay, so here it is. Just the website. Click on it, nothing happens. Actually, this might be a good time too. We clicked on it, nothing happened. Now we are in the know. We know the reason nothing is happening is because there are no background services running. But what if we did not know? What if we wanted to debug this application? Once I put something in Azure websites, am I completely lost? Do I lose the ability I had in my enterprise to actually go and be able to diagnose and see what's happening? So of course you do. Let's do something simple. So something that folks are very familiar with. Adding system.diagnostics. Okay, all I have here is I write out a bunch of logs in a loop. So every time the website is refreshed, I just write out a bunch of logs, make these changes. Another cool feature, I know that I've made changes only to this one particular file. I can preview the changes. I can compare it to the server. Preview changes completed with errors. Interesting. Okay. I can preview these changes. I know you guys believe me, so I won't spend cycles on that. But you can diff an individual file and publish that individually. Again, all goes towards increasing your productivity. There we push that one additional file. We go to the portal. Look at Site Monitor 10. Do folks see it? Why am I not seeing the website? Let's refresh it once more. Let's see what we published or did we? It's up there. Yeah, I seem to be having some network issue, and that's what was slowing down the publish as well. It took forever because the bits just weren't getting through. This will refresh and come up. What we'll do next is once this comes up, we were talking about diagnostics. We had added a bunch of system diagnostics. We'll see how we can trace applications directly from the cloud. Did I miss something? Where did my application go? Site Monitor 10.azure. I think I know what I did wrong. I published from a subscription that, I wasn't planning to publish from because I didn't want to inundate you with a bunch of websites, but now you will have to see all of those. So while this comes up, we'll do this next. Next, we'll add web jobs to it, both scheduled and time-driven. Next, we'll look at a new feature that we announced called Traffic Manager, which allows you to geo-replicate, which allows you to have your same website content in different locations, but direct your domain name. So smartypants.me would go to the Traffic Manager URL, and then based on the algorithm you choose, either based on performance or based on round-robin, whatever you decide is the right way to route it, it will get automatically routed for you to those different regions. And their Site Monitor 10 shows up. No, it's not, yeah. It's not relying on the new Roslyn model, and that's why I shouldn't have made it on code and done the div there. But yeah, I wouldn't be surprised if it eventually does. So here, Let's configure this application. Enable application logging. And now I should be able to, within Visual Studio, you're all used to Server Explorer. It's been extended for Azure. So all your Azure resources show up right there itself. And I apologize, something's really slow with my network. It's taking forever to get to the cloud. So now, when you have this node open, you can do a few things. You can say view streaming logs, and the logs that we added to our website, you can view them here. It's directly within VS itself. The new Azure portal also has allowed you to view those streaming logs on the portal itself. But there, I just added a few system diagnostic statements, uploaded it, turned on diagnostics, and I'm seeing the logs being streamed to my VS client. I also see them being streamed on the portal, so great for diagnostics. But then again, there are issues which logs cannot solve. It requires you to get into the guts, and we support that as well. Nothing gets more in the guts than setting a breakpoint. There you go. You can actually attach a debugger to the website running in the cloud. No cloud provider has this level of integration for you today. No one allowed you to walk through your code deployed in the cloud and debug it. And that's what we allow you to do. Again, with this network, we'll see how long it takes, but. So here it's Visual Studio has permissions that allow it to publish your. So what's happening here is I'm logged into my account. Visual Studio downloads a publish profile file, which sets up a relationship between Visual Studio and the cloud to publish. It's that same, it is leveraging that same relationship to also do remote debugging. But someone from outside who's not logged in or does not have that file will not be able to set a breakpoint on your application. And the reason, I guess, I won't be able to set a breakpoint right now is when I published retail. You need to publish debug to set a breakpoint. But beyond that, you just set a breakpoint, things just work. Okay, so coming back again from this diversion, let's get back to our site monitor piece. So we had the website running. It was missing its services. Now, the services are built. I had them in my enterprises. They were just EXEs. I just need to move them to the cloud. So in this scenario, I had an event-driven one, and I had a scheduled one. The event-driven essentially is long-running. It just keeps running and listening to a queue. Now, we have tooling coming for this. What I'll describe to you is a bit ugly, but very soon we'll have tooling that makes this much easier. There, so I actually already have the contents of this folder zipped up. All I need to do is take that zip file, upload it to Azure as a web job. So there's nothing special about the job. It's within my website, web jobs preview feature. There are no jobs, add a job. Name it long running. Browse for file. Run continuously, that's what we want. We wanted to listen to a queue. There it is, your EXE gets uploaded. What did we have next? We had an example which was scheduled. That's up here as well. Already pre-zipped up. Go back to my website, create a new one. This time I'll call it scheduled. Browse for And this one, we want to run on a schedule. Now, I went to the portal. I called into my web job service. I marked it as scheduled. This, in turn, is automatically going to integrate with an Azure scheduler, another service which we announced recently on preview, to allow you to schedule this job. These both can be used individually, or they seamlessly integrate in right here, where the Azure scheduler will be called. I get to define my schedule I want to run my services on, and then run this piece. The region is fine. It's a recurring job. I want it to run every 1 minute. Keep it aggressive, starting now, and there. I took my existing investments in terms of EXEs and now have them running as services, one on a schedule, one continuously on the cloud. Now, while this sets up, I'll quickly show you what these services look like. These services were written. There is the web jobs feature, and then we have some syntactic sugar on top of it called the web jobs SDK that makes it really easy to write these services. So let's look at this one here. This one is the scheduled one. What we're doing here is we are abstracting away a bunch of complexity of talking to queues, of talking to table. Using this Azure SDK, there's a declarative model to let it know where the input comes from, where the output goes to. So you declare that you're talking to table, you're using a queue output, you define it in there, and then within your actual process code, you can work with queues, just like you work with any list. You can work, you get strings out of it. You can work with blobs, just like you work with streams, exactly the same. So the programming model that you are familiar with in ASP.NET and C#, we try to carry them forward to Azure while hiding a bunch of complexity that goes in with dealing with multiple services, either with services themselves or by providing syntactic sugar like the Azure Web Jobs SDK on top of them. Again, this sample is up there, well documented, and I'll be putting a link to it on my blog. But that's all you need to do. You need to deal with it in terms of input and output parameter. The table just becomes an iDictionary, blog just becomes a stream, and queue just gives you strings. So we had uploaded this. We need to make, now only thing remaining to get this app running is to do some configuration. Site monitor 10. So for configuration, Azure Websites has a concept of application settings. These application settings override the settings that you have in your web.config. So again, from an IT pro perspective, they allow you to customize your application by overwriting stuff that you have in the web.config. So we're making a few settings in here which the application requires. The site monitor dashboard, this just needs for it to point back to itself. It needs it to point to where we hosted the application. So that comes in here. And then it needs the connection string. So the queue that these web jobs use to communicate, we have a name hard-coded. It will be create, and the few will, and they will communicate. And then there's table, but they need a storage account to be able to create the queues and tables on. And that's what you need to provide next. So it needs two. One is the two connection strings, Azure Jobs runtime, Azure Jobs data. I'm speeding to this a bit because this is really well documented in terms of what exactly all this involves. So for anyone who wants to follow up and go to the next level and build it themselves, they can absolutely do it. It's a custom connection string because it goes to storage. And that should be it. So let's save it. Let's restart because we did not restart after we added our web jobs. And then let's see if this works. Restart it. So now we have the ability to be able to add websites. Remember earlier, let's quickly check on the status of our web services. Here we are, and here are our web jobs. All this looks good to the best of what we can tell. Okay, there it is. Schedule, let me run this once again. I don't know why it says aborted. Looks good, let me try the website once more. There you go. I think it was still rebooting and being set up, but here's your website. Anytime I'm adding stuff here, goes into a queue, picked up by a long running process, added to a table. A schedule process wakes up every 1 minute, goes and checks the status, and then tells us how the website is doing. Another cool thing which quickly touch on and then we'll move on is not only do these web jobs run for you, we've built in great diagnostics into them. So in the scenario where I was seeing it being aborted, I just I'm signing as TechEd admin, so now it's confused here. There, I lost my portal. Okay, so too many identities conflicting here. But yes, if you can click on it and you can read your logs and details and figure out how that service was doing. The next piece I want to talk about was, actually this might be interesting to bring from web jobs as well. So let's look at sitemonitor10.azurewebsites.net. Now this is your web application running. It also has a concept of extension. So essentially, you have your compute power in the resource. We further leverage it for you to run extensions in addition to your main website. And the way to do it, or to see those, is to just say, the site name.scm, azurewebsites.net. Now here you are seeing site extensions. In addition to your application that you can choose to run, leveraging the same processing power, if you so choose. And you can also think of some pieces in here like our labs. So there's a concept of site extensions that folks can build. We're also looking if it makes sense to have a gallery of the site extension that you can go and then add to your application. Now, there are a few extensions that come by default. There is, then you can actually enable and disable them for your application. But when you're doing Git publish and publishing via Git to your Azure website, that happens via an extension called Kudu. But here are a set of multiple other extensions that have been built and we are playing around with. Let me show you. Here, I have another website called Fireworks, and if we have time, I'll demo this application later as well. It's a SignalR demo, but backed by a Redis cache plane. What's important now is that from a site extension perspective, here's site extension, now we're on the Fireworks demo. I installed an extension called Site Replicator, and again, if you publish something to website, you can just go to website name.scm and you can add it from the gallery as well. And what this does is just uses MS Deploy to help you create clone of your applications on multiple geolocations. So I've already, you can see, I've actually gone a bit crazy on this, I've already created 3 clones of my Fireworks application geolocated. Create one more quickly here. wait for the portal to come up. There was Fireworks Redis, I believe, that we were using. What we'll do is we'll create a new website. Fireworks Redis, and this one we'll do in, I don't think I have any region left. How about North Central? So I don't think, I'll choose East, let's say. So I believe I have a website in here, so I'll choose the East region. I'll choose a standard plan in the East. Create the website. Once this website comes up, Fireworks Redis East. We'll quickly go and download the publish profile file that we talked about earlier, which is used to maintain credentials. So here you can download this publish profile file. This is what VS does for you quietly in the background. Okay. And what we'll do next is go back to the site extension that we have running. What it does is it takes, you create a website, you just tell it, here's the credentials to be able to replicate and talk to it. And it will clone the website. Make sure that. Oh. Now let's see if this works. And there. I already had one in Chicago. It cloned that application for me using MS Deploy. In another region. So now I have the same application running in four regions in the US. And now what do I do? How do I manage who goes where? And that's where Traffic Manager comes in. So if I go back to the portal now, and go back to the bunch of services that we offer. It's Traffic Manager. So all I had to do again here is when you create a new traffic manager, you give it a DNS suffix, which is goodness. But main thing you need, you just have to choose how you want the traffic to be routed. Performance-based, round-robin, or only in failover. If this particular website is the master, if it fails, then move back to the next one. I have it set up for performance, so the users closest will get chosen. You'd notice I already had three websites in there. We just added a fourth one. So you should already see three endpoints in here. And we'll be adding a fourth one to it. If you want to add the endpoint that we just created. You know what I did wrong? So it should show up here, and then you just distribute it across those. The thing that I did wrong was it has to be a standard SKU. When you create the website, make sure you create it on a standard SKU. That's the only one supported between load balancer. If you create it on a smaller SKU, it's likely not showing up here for that reason, or it just hasn't propagated yet. So the cloning was more of a, think of that as Azure Labs. We're playing around, having some fun. But more importantly, you can take your application, host it in multiple locations, and then with a fully supported service, Traffic Manager, route traffic across it. With what data, sorry? Yeah, that's a whole separate topic. So you, this will, yes. So the question, and a very valid question, and today's the question, the next level as well. One important piece that I've just not covered here purely for complexity is migrating data from the enterprise to the cloud. And then once you're in the cloud, how do you replicate it across geolocations? And to some extent there, it's not that different in Azure than it would have been if you were moving from on-premise to a different server as well. So things, your techniques you were used to using with data in the past are still relevant. It's still SQL Server running on Azure. You can use it as a service or you can host it yourself. So a lot of those techniques remain the same. Same thing with here. If on-premise, you were using a traffic manager and managing data yourself, you have to do the same thing here. It does become a little easier with if you had a dependency on Table, with Table having their own geo replication as well. There are tools that help out better. But yes, a few things just not more difficult, but remain as difficult as they used to be on-premise. Yes. So you can choose to. It will not happen just by replicating the site. We've introduced this concept of a replication group where data is together, but today you cannot replicate replication groups as a unit yet. So that will be coming. Today we have the tools to replicate individual services separately. This was specific to websites, but you do have to do them as individual units. I think we have around 10 minutes more. I did want to leave time for questions. Okay, let me show you cache then, just because that's what I've been working for the last 6 months, so I'll be selfish here. So what we've done with caching, and I too much stuff running, let's start again. And I might even have a slide on this. Let's quickly see how we did on from a slide perspective. Azure websites we talked about, web jobs we talked about. What do web jobs do? You talk to a website, you talk to a queue. The jobs run in the same context as your website. They pick up stuff from queues and process it, just like we saw in action. Traffic manager, like we discussed. You replicate it, your site, you choose to have it. If a particular node, either from performance or from failover perspective, is having issues, the traffic manager is intelligent enough to skip it. Next, we'll talk about Azure Redis Cache. This is a new, we've had a cache offering in the past. We just this week announced a new offering based on the popular Redis cache engine. Anyone familiar with Redis here? Use Redis in the past? A few. So I guess you folks will love it. For folks who haven't had a chance to play around with Redis, it's very quickly becoming the de facto cache to do distributed caching. Very, very popular. And now it's available as a service on Azure, backed by Microsoft with the Microsoft SLA, or will soon have once it goes to GA. So what I had for this demo was we've done demos in the past where we have SignalR. And it works great. Where it gets interesting is where, as you notice in here, there are multiple instances of what it says web dish should be websites. There are multiple instances of the website. Now, SignalR does a great job as long as you don't scale out. Once it scales out in a distributed fashion, you don't have folks communicating within the same ecosystem. They're communicating per server. And to scale it out, you now need to move to a distributed backplane. You need something that distributes across server behind the SignalR, and that's where Redis comes in. So here, your connections go to a server, all those servers communicate with Redis, Redis then communicates to them back, and then your messages are shared back. So it's the same SignalR goodness that you were used to distributed on the cloud. Now we've had a SignalR Redis backplane for a while. I think it's been almost a year at least. What this does is now with Azure supporting Redis, it's just turnkey. You create a service, you give it a URL, and you're done. I have a project here where this used to be a SignalR project. All I had to do was add the NuGet package. Thank you, guys. So I have a project in here. This used to be a SignalR project, it still is. All I had to do to add the distributed backplane in there was add the NuGet package, microsoft.asp.net, the signal out of Redis. And then in the startup.cs in the registration, I register what channel to use as the Redis backplane. All it takes is a URL for my cache, the default port, and the access key, and the name of the channel that all these different instances will use to communicate with Redis. So they don't only have to be signal out. The channel could have been created by some third-party client on Redis. We are just subscribing and writing to it, and that's where the name comes in. Now, just launched it. I believe we already have this running on Redis as well. This is the same one that we've been geoscaled. Wait for this to connect. I'm having network issues, so it might be timing out, but we'll try once this comes up as well. This is the local one. And I guess some of you already have the URL because folks are already joining in on the festivities. So if you I know why it's not, it's Fireworks Redis. There you go. So it's fireworksredis.azurewebsites.net, and well, I guess you folks have discovered it as well. So there it goes. We're now distributed across machines. The one running here locally can communicate with the one running on the cloud, all by a Redis backplane where all I needed to do was create a Redis cache on Azure, put the backplane to it. And the key message I want you guys to take away from this is Visual Studio to our ASP.NET to other infrastructure. It's I guess, the same one Microsoft piece again. It's all of these coming together in one combined unit with identity, with your existing investments in SQL, all of them play together. You don't have to relearn stuff, and no other cloud stack has that end-to-end. I'll be putting all this content up, at least links and links to details on my website. So that's all I had. Thank you very much. And I'm definitely available for questions if folks have any.